he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Again, with that verse being read as my scripture text today, I want to talk about the commandments and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to, if you're not afraid to do this, I would like to ask every child of God that's here today to ask yourselves a question. Now, when the Lord looks at you, if you have been saved, when the Lord looks at you, he's going to see that you are his child. The Lord knows all of those that are his. If you have been saved and have followed his commandment to unite with the church and be scripturally baptized, then when he looks at you, he will see not only that you are his child, but that you are a member of his church. But here's what I would like for you to ask yourselves, and I'm trying to be honest and as fair in this as I can. I've asked myself this question many times. And if you're not afraid to do this today, you ask yourself this question. When the Lord looks at me, will he see a true disciple? Because from what I see in the scriptures, the things that Jesus taught about discipleship, from what I see in the scriptures, it's very possible to be saved. It's very possible to be a child of God and be a member of the Lord's church and yet not really be living the life of a disciple of Christ. There's more to discipleship than just being saved and belonging to the church. And I want to point something out to you in this verse that I read, and there are other gospels that recorded, other of the gospels that recorded this same thing about discipleship, but I like the way that Luke penned it down, because he told us in his account that if we are going to be a disciple, that it's something that we have to do on a daily basis. There's no scriptural precedence given for being a one-day-a-week disciple. The Lord's just not, he didn't teach us that, and he wouldn't be pleased with that. Luke said, if you want to be a disciple, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up your cross and daily follow the Lord. And I want to also say that, and I have felt like this for some time now, myself included, that if the Lord and the apostles came back into time here in the year 2006, and they witnessed the way that we live today, they witnessed all of the things of the world that we're caught up in. We were told again in Sunday school this morning about that. All of the things of the world that we are so caught up in as the people of God, how lazy that we really are many times in the service of the Lord, how lackadaisical we are about the things of God, how quickly that we will just dismiss the things of God oftentimes and go out and follow the things of the world. I believe if the Lord and the apostles walked in among us today and took the stand, that we wouldn't be able to handle the way they would preach to us. I believe they would rip us up one side and down the other. Now, you may have a different view of that, and you're entitled to Believe what you will about it, but I believe that's exactly what they would do. I believe the Lord would stand before us and he would say, what part of my teaching did you not understand when I told you that a disciple must be somebody that denies himself and takes up his cross daily and follows me? I believe if the Apostle Paul was standing before us, he would say, did you not understand what I was saying there in my writing to the Romans when I said, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service? And furthermore, how that I told you not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Did you not understand what I was saying there? Well, you know, Christ and the apostles are not physically among us preaching anymore, are they? But the Word of God is still alive to us today. And the Word of God is still as effective today when they spoke it. And I'll tell you what, I believe that as gifted as the Apostle Paul was in his preaching and in his writings, and of course, there was nobody like Jesus. I mean, there's never been a preacher that lived like Jesus Christ, but I believe that those of us today that God has called to preach his word, though we fall well short of what those men were, I believe God will still honor his word today as it goes forth. So I want you to think with me, when Jesus came to his church after his resurrection and the commission that he gave to them and the account of it according to the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus came and spake to his disciples and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. After that he had told them that they were to go and teach to all nations, make disciples of all nations, after that he had told them that when that was done, they were to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and then he told them that they were to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, I want you to know that when Jesus told his church that we were to teach people to observe all things that he's commanded, that is exactly what he meant. We were not to observe some of his commandments, and we were not to adhere to some of his teachings, but we were to observe all things that he commanded. And we are to teach all things that he commanded us to do. Now, is the church doing that today? I don't believe so. I believe that most of our churches do a good job with some of it, but I'll tell you one thing that I believe that has happened among most all of our churches is we left behind years ago the discipline that should be carried out. And oftentimes we've just taken things and we've swept them under the carpet and we've said, well, we just won't deal with that part of it. And you know, I'm going to say this today that I might be that I might present this today with integrity. As I go through this message today, if you say within yourself or within your own mind or your heart, preacher, I believe you're wrong, then I'll say, prove it to me. Prove it to me. Because the things that we do will show whether we observe them all or not, won't they? And so Jesus expected that we would observe and that we would cling to and adhere to all of the things that he commanded us to do. Now, I think that oftentimes we are like those that have selective hearing. You ever heard of somebody that has selective hearing? They hear what they want to hear. When they begin to hear things they don't want to hear, they do like those there. When Stephen was preaching to them, they just stop their ears. They try to plug up their ears and they don't want to hear that part. And I think that oftentimes we are just that way when it comes to the things that Jesus has taught us. We do what we want to do. We choose the things that we don't mind doing and we do them. And, you know, even if we are willing to hear, even if we are willing to hear the things that are said, that's usually about as far as it gets. Because rarely when the Lord, through the preaching of His word, rebukes us and shows us the error of our way, rarely do we truly apply it to our lives. And I'm going to say this again. If you say, well, Pastor, you're wrong about that, then I'll just simply say, I hope that I am, but you've got to prove it to me that I'm wrong. We just, oftentimes we don't want to hear it. And as I said, even if we do, we are not like those that James spoke about. James said we ought to be not only hearers of the word, but we ought to be doers of the word as well. You know, he said the man that only hears is like a man that looks into the mirror and he sees what manner of man that he is, and then he walks away and he just completely forgets what he saw in the mirror. And if we only hear the word of God and don't take it and apply it to our lives, then that's the same way that we are. We just quickly forget what it is that the Lord has asked of us. But again, if we will hear the word of the Lord and we will take His truth and we will apply it to our lives, then it will profit us and help us to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as the people of God, when the gospel is preached, when the man of God stands up to proclaim the gospel, we love to see the word of God have its effect on the hearts of those that are lost. We love to see the Spirit of God move upon their hearts and condemn them for their lost condition, and we love to see them come to the Lord and hit the altar and begin to cry out to God that they might be saved by His grace. But when the pastor or somebody else, rebukes the church by the word of God, and when our error is exposed to us and we see our own guilt, how often do we hit the altar? How often do we as the people of God really turn to Him when we're convicted of our sins and repent of our sins and get things right with God? How often do we really do that? I'll just let you answer it. We don't want to deny ourselves, do we? I'll guarantee you, I could stand up here today. If you want a good example of how that we just don't, apply the things of God to our lives, I've, in pastoring, I've witnessed this, and I'm not afraid. you know, you might be able to do it just to prove me wrong, but before long, I guarantee you, it would wear off. I could stand up here before this church this morning, and I could preach how important that it is that we assemble ourselves here every time that the church doors are opened, that it, unless we're just sick or there's some true, legitimate reason why we can't be here, we ought to be here. Every time that the church meets for service, we ought to make it an effort to be here and to assemble and to worship God. I could preach that this morning until I was blue in the face, and I promise you that there would still be those here right now that would choose to stay home from the service this evening. They would just choose to do so. Does that warrant being a disciple? I don't believe so. There are things that I could preach today. There's so many beauties in the Word of the Lord. There's so many feel-good things in the Word of the Lord. There are things that I could preach today. I could preach, today about the joys of heaven. I could preach about that beautiful land that God has prepared that's waiting for His people that we're going to inhabit someday. I could preach about how good it feels to be saved by the grace of God. I could preach about the blessings that God bestows upon us throughout the week, and we could get happy in those things and we could rejoice in those things. But when the Spirit of God moves upon the heart of the preacher to rake the church over the coals, suddenly things change, don't they? We sure don't get happy. We sure don't begin to rejoice. We might want to get out the back door as quick as we can and get away from those things, but we sure don't rejoice in them. But I'll tell you what, the problem is, friends, we don't even want to take it anymore. It's costly to be a disciple. I mean, if you really want to be a disciple, it's going to cost you something. If you want to go through life and you want to be saved and you want to attend church on Sunday morning, if you want to get up after, doing everything else all week and give God about an hour to two on Sunday morning and think that you've done God a great service and that's all that's due to Him, you can drift through life. You can go through life doing that, but if you want to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are sacrifices that have to be made. There are requirements that you must meet. There are things that you are going to have to give up if you really want to be a disciple. One of them is you've got to deny yourself. You know what? It just amazes me. It amazes me how quickly that God's children will take out on the Lord. It really does. You know what? I'm afraid that too often we just don't look back to Calvary. We just don't stop and take a good look about this man named Jesus that had nails driven through his hands and nails driven through his feet and a crown of thorns on his head with the blood streaming down and his back laid open from the scourging, hanging there on the cross, dying for our sins. And the only thing that he has asked of us is that we deny ourselves and we take up our own cross and we follow after him. Friends, let me tell you something today. For everything that Jesus Christ has done for us, he asked very little of us in return. But the sad part of it is that the things that he does ask, he generally doesn't get. The God of heaven is the most abused parent that there has ever been. There is no father that has ever been treated as badly by his children as God has. Honestly, that's my honest belief. It just amazes me how quickly that his children will forsake him. I'm just going to be very blunt and straightforward with you today because the Lord has placed these things on my heart. You could ask me, you could say, well, Pastor, have we done something to anger you? I'd say no. I've been happy as a lark ever since I got here. I'm not angry at all. I'm just preaching the things today that God has placed upon my heart, and you can take it for that. But it just amazes me how quickly that people will take off and leave the things of God behind. Friends, I mean, you know, Christian families today, let me tell you something and let me caution you about something today as Christian parents. If you teach your children by example that it's all right to take off on the Lord's day, especially, I want to talk about the Sabbath for just a minute, especially on the Lord's day, because one of God's commandments was that we would keep the Sabbath holy, that we would honor this day and that we would keep it holy. That was one of his commandments and one of his great teachings. And let me caution you today, if you're raising children, let me say this, that if you teach your children by example that it's all right to take off on the Lord's day, to go and pursue the things of the world, to take off to dabble in sports, to take off to spend the day at the lake, take off and spend the day on the golf course, take off and do all of these worldly things, if you set that example before your children, let me tell you what will happen. They will grow up and they'll believe it. They'll believe it. They will grow up and they will believe that it's all right. Because young minds are very impressionable. And they do learn from us the things that we teach them, whether they're good things or bad things. But you know what? If there's a ball game going on, if there's some kind of sports tournament going on, if the crappie are biting, you know, if it's a sunny day and we want a day, you know, to go spend the day at the lodge or you know, whatever we want to do, it amazes me how quickly that people will just dismiss church and dismiss the things of God and just take off to do the things of the world. Never mind what needs to be done for God. Those things will just have to wait. We've got to do these other things, and the things of God just have to wait. And we'll just have to get back to those things when it's convenient for us. Friends, listen, that's a lot of the problem today with the people of God. We want to serve Him and we want to try to honor Him when it's convenient for us. But you know, if there's something else that we would rather do, we'll just put those things on the shelf and get back to them later. Well, let me tell you something. Make no mistake about God, He never has taken a back seat to anything or anybody. If you want to be a disciple, He will have to be first and foremost in your life. You'll have to be willing to deny yourself. I heard it put this way one time, and I think it's a great analogy. When you go home tonight, the Lord gives you rest from the day. When you sit down on the side of your bed tonight and get ready to retire for the evening, you imagine a big wooden cross on your shoulders that you dragged around behind you all day. You take that thing and you imagine laying it down there beside your bed, knowing that when you get up the next morning, you've got to pick that heavy thing up and you've got to strap it across your back again and you've got to carry it around through Monday. And then Monday night, if the Lord gives you a little bit of rest for the body, you lay it down beside your bed, knowing that you've got to get up Tuesday morning and strap that cross on again and carry it around with you Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, just as well as Sunday. That's what Jesus taught us. You've got to take up your cross daily and follow after the Lord. He doesn't want disciples once a week. He wants disciples that'll be disciples all week long. Luke made that point very plain. I want us to look at some other scripture in the 9th chapter of Luke here, beginning with verse 57. I want to read a few verses. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. The apostle Peter said he would too, didn't he? He told Jesus he'd die with him. And Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. This man came to Jesus. And he said, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go first and bid them farewell, which are home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, you know, we don't mind taking the teachings of Jesus about how that he will save us from our sins if we'll come to him. We don't mind at all listening to the teachings of Christ about how that, he has prepared a beautiful heaven for us to dwell eternally, safely in one day. We don't mind that at all, but you know, we need to observe and cling to and adhere to all the things that he has taught us and all the things that he has commanded us. And Jesus, in these verses, he taught us three very important things. Number one, if you want to follow him, the way will be hard. You know what? I don't see anything about Christianity. Now this hocus-pocus Christianity, this, you know, pep rally Christianity that's being promoted in our world today about how, you know, God wants you to be filthy rich and all these things, I don't find that in the Bible. That's not Christianity. Christianity, true Christianity, has always been a hard way. Always. It's always been a way of suffering. It's always been a way of giving up oneself. And there were three things in these verses that I just read that Jesus taught. Number one is that it's a hard way. Number two is that if you're going to follow Jesus, you've got to let go of the world. And number three, if you look back, you're not fit to follow him. Boy, we don't want to think of ourselves as not fit, do we? But that's exactly what he said. You put your hands to the plow. Jesus didn't even have to say, he didn't say you even have to turn back. He said, you put your hands to the plow and you begin to follow me. If you so much as look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You're not fit for my service. Let me tell you something, friends. If you're going to follow Jesus and really be a disciple, it's going to have to be eyes forward all the time. we began looking back at the things of the world, and he said, you won't be fit for my service. Imagine that. Imagine Jesus, the one that owned everything, while he lived here in this world, humbled himself so much to give us the example of what Christianity would really be like, that he had to say, I don't have any place to lay my head. Everything belonged to him, but he chose to live the life of a servant. I don't even have any place. If you want to come after me, know that it'll be hard, because the foxes, they've got holes to sleep in. The birds of the air have got nests to sleep in, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. Know that it won't be easy for you if you're going to come and follow me. And, you know, this next man said, well, you know, I want to follow you, but let me go take care of these things first. And Jesus said, no, no. You know what I believe he taught us in that? I believe that Jesus either wants us to follow him or he doesn't. I don't think he wants anybody lagging in between the two. It's either follow me or don't. If you're going to follow me, you follow me completely. Otherwise, you just go on back there and bury your father. His teachings were not easy. Not easy. But let me tell you something. When he walked that road there, that path that he walked to Golgotha and was crucified there at the place of the skull, I promise you that what the Lord gave up for us wasn't easy for him. It wasn't easy for him to go through what he did in order that we might have eternal life. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's my message. I brought to you today the things that the Lord placed upon my heart. I apologize for nothing. I hope that we will all consider what it is to be a disciple, because that's what the Lord desires, that we would be disciples, that we would be learners, that we would be ever at his feet. We give so much of our time to the things of this life, the temporal affairs of this life that are going to burn up. We give so much of our time to those things and so little to the one that died for our sins. So little. And I hope and pray that God will help us to do better and to be the disciples that he would desire for us to be. May God bless you all, and may he bless the preaching of his word and use it for his honor and his glory. I'd like for us to stand and have a song. And I'd like for us to have a hand of Christian fellowship today. I feel like we ought to do that. I know it might take us a little while, but you know, our time belongs to God anyway. And I felt like from the beginning of the service that we ought to do that today. So let's do that while we stand and have a song.